Hello, and welcome to the PlanetIRL.com podcast. This is IndyCar editor Paul Dalby, joined this week by site owner, author, Cole Kirkland, and our very special guest this week from Speed Week's Speed Freaks, Crash Gladys. So welcome to both Cole and Crash this week.
Hello.
Hola. You can call it Speed Week. That's cool. We're Speed every week. That's cool.
Speed Weeks. Wasn't that the old Bob Jenkins show on ESPN?
Oh, God, it was.
It was.
Good memory.
Cole wasn't even born for that, so we'll have to jump off that.
Oh, and kidding with the age jokes, Paul. Just wait, okay? Just
never
wait.
Never too early to start. Never too early.
Wait till we get to the football rant, Paul. Just wait for it. You'll get
speaking of football, and things that are too old for Cole, first things first, those on Twitter will know that I perhaps foolishly put a bet out to Ms. Gladys for the Illinois-Indiana football game a couple weeks ago that my Illini sadly did not represent me well.
Love it.
I had to sport the cream and crimson for an entire week.
That's awesome.
I'm just going to make a point here. Who else beat you guys? Oh, yeah. The Ohio State University. Can I get an I.O.?
An I.O. or an I.U.? Oh, yes, that would be my Hoosiers.
Oh,
come on.
Oh.
But they lost to Perdon't.
Yeah, they so did.
And didn't they lose? Who else did they lose to this year?
USC. What?
USC.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Overrated.
And you've lost to them for how many years now? Oh, that would be four in a row, right?
Yeah. Hey, how many championships do you guys have in the last few years, huh?
My Texas Longhorns, on the other hand...
How many teams do you have
now
floating around, Crash? You can only have one team.
The Hoosiers. No. The Hoosiers and the Longhorns. Got to keep it in the family. Hoosiers and Longhorns.
You get one.
Well, this weekend it'll be Longhorns.
You know what? I'll give you guys the rest of the country because you're all going down against my Gators. So.
Oh no! Can't wait till the Rose Bowl this year, baby.
Yeah, more Gator bait.
Okay, nope. Can I make a point? My team is good enough that I can have one team. You guys have worse teams in the NCAA, so you have to have two to make up for the suckiness, while I can keep the Ohio State University.
Hey, IU's got one of the best soccer programs in the NCAA.
No one cared about soccer. Sorry for all the British listeners.
Don't you go there.
Just alienated another 80% of our listeners.
Well, we're getting rid of Canada a little bit later, so sorry, Hugo, if you're listening. I didn't mean that.
All right, so in this little wager, I had to actually change my Twitter avatar to the cream and crimson of Indiana, which the next week Illinois played so bad, I actually delayed changing my avatar, which it is finally gone now. There is a very cute picture of my little son on there now, so you can see that nice little picture at Field of 33 on Twitter.
I'm looking at it right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Alas, this is an IndyCar racing program. We're not going to talk N-word here. We're not going to talk too much more college football. So on to the racing stuff for the week. First and foremost on the hot topics is the pending sponsorship announcement for the IndyCar series. Word from Kirk Cavan indicates that the parties, the IndyCar series and the And the potential sponsor have agreed in principle, and we're waiting for some probably attorneys to dot the I's and cross the T's, but we think it's going to happen. Question to you guys. What does this mean for the series? Crash, you want to go over there?
To have a title sponsor, what does that mean?
Absolutely.
I think it's great, provided the title sponsor brings in mucho advertising. And like I read in something earlier today, yes, Izod knows how to advertise. We've seen a decent Izod TV ad with Ryan Hunter-Reay, but we need more of that. Yeah, exactly, the one ad. We need more of that. We need a heck of a lot more TV ads. We need a greater variety. We need something in the USA Today every week. We need something possibly in the Wall Street Journal. The Macy's promotions that went on this year were fabulous. Let's go beyond Macy's. Can Izod do all that? Absolutely. However, I don't know how much money they're going to be spending for this title sponsorship. I have a feeling it's not going to be much so that they can focus their money on external advertising. That's just, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that because that is what it needs to be to make it work.
So if we're looking at a situation where Izod let's just throw a number out, $10 million. You know, if the IZOD is paying, and which, by the way, obviously we keep throwing around IZOD, which we assume it is IZOD, although other rumors have kind of persistent bounced around. IZOD is the prevailing rumor that seems to be have the most steam. But if IZOD's going to throw $10 million at this, what do we think is the value that should be going directly to the league versus what maybe IZOD holds back and activates their sponsorship with? Is it a 50-50 thing, or do we want more activation than even that?
I think more activation than money going into the league. What's the new dude's name? Belzer?
Jeff Belskis.
Help me out. Yes, he even said, I think it was somewhere in Japan, when he was quoted as saying that they don't need a title sponsor. So I'm assuming that their financial situation is a little better than we're thinking. So if they don't need a title sponsor, then make that sponsor go out and activate. If the league doesn't need the money, then go activate and put the money elsewhere, because I think that's where the greater benefit will come.
I completely agree. At this point, it's not so much about getting cash in the series. It's about getting the name out there and getting long-term cash coming in, you know, bringing in new fans, not just getting a lump of money now. So I think I agree with Crash, and I do disagree a little bit that it will be IZOD. I think it'll be another company that sports a catchy jingle and a guy with fat pants, because they were rumored in the last time this came up. So I think it'll be them, if not IZOD, but I think it's between the two of them. And I think it definitely needs to be more activated than just a lump of cash coming at the series.
Guy with fat pants.
You need to clarify what rhymes with fat pants.
I'm thinking like MC Hammer or something.
Think more sandwiches.
The Subway series?
I think so. That last time it came around, the two people that I heard it was between was Citibank, and they're not doing so good now, and Subway. And I think Subway still is in it, and they sponsored PT. I don't know what they were thinking, but they covered him, and then they were tossed around last time it was out. So I just don't think it'll be IZOD.
But they sponsored him. Wasn't it a year and a half ago that they sponsored him?
That was at Edmonton in 08.
That was one race?
Yep, at Edmonton.
Yeah.
Now, Subway is a whole different can of worms if we're looking at sponsorship activation. They have so many stores. I do a lot of travel for my job, and it doesn't matter how remote, out in the middle of nowhere I am, I can always find a Subway. And if Subway can activate their network of stores and, you know, put IndyCar stuff in their stores, on their cups, you know, on their signs, on their commercials, That would reach more people very quickly than even IZOD would. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree completely. I live in a town of 20,000, including pets, and we have two within a mile of here. So, Subway is good.
Absolutely, and it is good too. Go ahead, Crash. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and it is good too. Now that they post their stuff, ooh yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There you go. I agree. I think the long-term benefits of an activation outweigh the short-term benefits of the cash infusion, especially if this Brazil race goes and the numbers upwards of $15 to $20 million infusion into the league are real there. That's a big chunk of change, and you can afford to take a little less cash infusion from your title sponsor and reallocate that to activation, if that's the case. And I think whether it is Subway or whether it is IZOD, I agree that more money is better spent on the activation side than the upfront cash. Certainly more than the sponsors that we're seeing now, be it Honda, Firestone, or any of the other car sponsors that we see. I think that'll bring more drivers, more eyeballs to this series, and be better for long-term growth and sustainability.
Question.
Go ahead.
What happened? Why is nobody talking to FedEx? I know they were the title sponsor of the Champ Car Series for several years, and I never heard anything bad about that. I never heard FedEx complaining about what the series was giving them or how what they were getting out of it. that seems like it would be another viable option, especially because they've kind of cut back on some of their NASCAR money. They had to because of the economy affecting, of course, fuel prices and just everything. And so they cut back on some Denny Hamlin money. I would think that if things are moving forward for their company and the company's getting a little bit more stable financially, that would be another good one to bring back to the series.
I never thought about that. That is a good partner for the series, I guess. I don't know how much activation they could do, per se, but they're better than Izod, I think, because Izod is more of a niche sort of company.
That's true. I will say, FedEx had great commercials with Gilles DeFerrin. When they first came on to the Champ Car series, must have been mid-90s, they had Gilles DeFerrin was with Walker Racing, and they had great commercials with him, driving through the FedEx shops and stuff like that. They did well. I would think for FedEx to activate, they would also have to put an IndyCar on all of their packaging. Would they do that by continuing to sponsor a NASCAR driver? Probably not. So maybe FedEx isn't a viable option. But I don't know. They seem to be pleased with their title sponsorship back in the day. I'd love to see them explore it again.
They were, and I think they were a good partner up until CART just shot themselves in the foot over and over and over and over again. After the Texas debacle in 2001. And then, you had the issue with Penske leaving and Andretti leaving and Ganassi leaving, all of those in 2002, 2003. And finally, by that point, FedEx realized that there was almost no return. Granted, they probably weren't putting anything into this series, but they certainly weren't getting anything out of this series. Now, whether or not that they could come back to the series and see some gains from that, it's hard to bring a sponsor back after they've been there and they've gone.
One thing I heard, though, and I don't know if this is ever true, but one thing I heard was that they supplied the airplanes for all the cargo to go over to Australia, Japan, and go down to Brazil, and possibly, I don't know if this is true, but possibly over to Europe when they did, oh gosh, Germany and was it Belgium?
England.
So, I don't know. England, yes. So maybe it could be maybe a trade deal in which they have their freight and other air services covered, because going to Brazil ain't cheap, and obviously if they ever want to go back to Australia, that's not cheap. Japan's not cheap. Who knows? Maybe it could help.
That's true, but typically the league requires that the promoters pick up those costs anyway. So it's
not true.
You know, the teams aren't being required to send their cars to, you know, Japan, Australia, Brazil. That's at the expense of the promoter. So
I did like how you insulted CART there. So far on the insulting tally for the show, we've insulted soccer fans, that's all of Europe and Brazil.
Not me.
CART fans. And later on, we're going to insult the entire nation of Canada. So,
well, think of it, you know, a good chunk of Canadians were the CART fans anyway. So,
not just warming them up. Two stones with one bird, I guess.
There you go. So, speaking of bringing money and more drivers into the series, that'll lead us into silly season stuff. Obviously, number one on the list of silly season that everyone wonders what the hell is actually going on is the Danica story. And nobody officially knows anything more today than they did 6 months ago, even though the rumors are out that she has already signed with Andretti Green, Andretti, whatever they want to be called here shortly. You know, if the rumors are true that she signed with Andretti Green for, I think it was three more years, but leaving the door open to do some NASCAR stuff, my question to you guys is then how much NASCAR, ARCA, whatever stock car series she wants to run, how much of that can she do before she becomes a distraction, not only to herself, but to her own team?
Well, what I've heard from her PR people, because I tried to line up an interview with her earlier this month, is they are not going to do any press, any media, until they have a sponsorship contract. That's what she was sure to tell me, is the sponsorship. She didn't say anything about the team. So I'm assuming that at this point, she's definitely with AGR, but maybe GoDaddy and Boost Mobile and everything, they aren't finalized on that side, so they're not ready to go public. I don't think, as you asked, Paul, that she... I just don't see her doing NASCAR. She is one of the drivers that's just there to win. She's not there for money or anything else at this point, I don't think. She's there to win and wherever she can get the best opportunity to win. And if she's dividing her time between two series and two different cars like that, I don't think she can do it, and I don't think she'll try. I think that was just a bargaining tool. So she'll be an IndyCar for the rest of her career.
I'd like to agree with you. I truly think that that would be the best move for her, to stay in IndyCar. We had Jill DeFerrin on our show Sunday night, and he flat out said that too. I think it was me that asked him, do you think Danica will do a part-time gig in NASCAR? And I said, what do you think if she does do it? And he says, I don't think she should do it. And I think more and more people are starting to tell her that if you're going to do NASCAR in any way, shape, or form, you've got to really put your entire training, your entire heart and soul into it in order to be even a 20th place car. And I don't think that she's going to want to do that. She's going to have to give up IndyCar to do NASCAR anyway successfully, and I'm with you, Cole. I don't think she's going to do that.
What I would love to see is I'd love to see her drive a couple NASCAR races and then do the Paul Tracy thing and be like, no way, this is not for me. This is not much fun. I'm going to go back and race some zippy Indy cars. She kind of just throw NASCAR under the bus. I don't think she'll do it, but it would be fun to see. I would be surprised, though, if she doesn't do a little bit of NASCAR, run a couple races. I agree with you guys. I don't see her making that jump. Her heart's not in it. I think she likes her public life a little too much to run. God, what are they, like 40 weekends a year now?
Ridiculous. It's
they're off
ridiculous.
From about the second week of November to the second week of February, and that doesn't even account for your off-season testing, no other commitments that you have. I think she just wants and will want to maintain her public life, to go do the red carpets, to do the magazine shoots, and all those things, much more than she'll be allowed to do given the schedule she'd have to maintain in a NASCAR situation.
Danica likes...
Yeah, they basically have the month of December, and that's it.
Right. Yep.
Danica likes being Danica. She likes being the... When you think IndyCar, you talk to someone who's not an IndyCar fan, they say, is that the one with Danica in it? Danica is IndyCar, and she is the leading figure, and she likes that. I'm not saying she's, like, narcissistic, but she is the queen bee around here. And if she's in NASCAR, she won't be that. She won't be number one.
About 6 weeks. Yep, I totally agree with you, Cole. Absolutely. She's another mid-packer at best whose novelty will wear off within, you know, half a season or so in NASCAR. Then she goes back there running with Junior Nation.
Oh, so now we've...
I just hope that...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Crash.
No. I don't want to interrupt. I mean, you were getting on a little hot streak there. I just hope that Dario Franchitti kind of bends her ear a little bit and says it's just not what it's cracked up to be. Yeah, you might make more money over there, but is it worth it? No. I hope he and others will get to her in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think they will. So, you know, before we spend too much time on Danica, the domino that everyone seems to really be waiting for to fall with regards to the IndyCar offseason is Graham Rahal. Where is Graham going, and what happens to the seat at Newman Haas if he doesn't go back there? At this point...
No, come on! He's going back? There's no way he wouldn't go there, right?
Wait.
He wants to go there, and Newman Haas wants him back, but, you know, we've seen that doesn't always mean that he ends up back there. You know, when I spoke with Kurt Cavan at Homestead, you know, obviously there are other teams that would like to have Graham with them, but I don't know that there's a better place for Graham to go, so I think I agree. He'd be foolish to leave. He's made a nice little niche there. Newman Haas, their progress this year, particularly once Oriel Servia joined that team, was impressive to see them go Graham qualified well but didn't race well on the ovals. By the time he got to Chicago, I mean, he was dicing it out at the for the lead there at the end, and I think another year together, I would be shocked if we don't see Graham win an oval race if he stays with Newman Haas next year. Agreed?
I agree. I definitely agree. I think we are going to see the Newman Haas of days old. I think we're going to see them back the way that we're used to them come next year. Because it's just taken them time to go from the champ cars to the Indy cars. I think they figured it out now, and now it's just all about chemistry and pushing it to the next level. And 2010, I'm thinking Newman Haas Flanagan is going to be in the same line with Chip Ganassi Racing and Team Penske. Absolutely.
Okay, my brain says Graham's going to stay, and it would be smart to stay. And stay, Graham. Don't move around. Just stay where you're at and make it your home. However, as you all know, there is another former Newman Haas driver who needs a ride in the IndyCar Series right now. More than Graham, a certain French guy, won't name his name because people yell at me when I talk about him too much on the podcast.
See the one
yes, Sebastian.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
He likes Sebastian.
Paul,
what
were you saying?
He's got a crush on Sebastian.
I'm going to mute Crash's mic real quick, and then you keep talking, Paul.
No, whoa. I love Sebastian. Are you kidding me? He's one of the drivers that has been tremendously loyal to our show. I will never say anything bad about Sebastian. Love the guy.
Even if he doesn't take off his helmet?
Oh, yes! Shut up.
What are you talking about?
Okay, just for that, it's time for the PT rant, Paul. It's time for the PT rant. Start me off. Give me a question, and I'll just go at him.
All right. PT, I think we've done enough silly season. Let's see. We were going to cover Ryan Hunter Way to USF1, and that's not fun to talk about. AGR, what's going to happen there? Who knows? Vision Racing, they'll be back. Paul Tracy. All right.
Go on.
The folks in the Twitter sphere this week, led by our friend at 99 Forever, Stephanie, have led a grassroots campaign this week on the Monster Energy website, which has been absolutely impressive to see. Super kudos to Steph for all her work. By the way, be sure to check her out on Kurt Kevin and Kevin Lee's show tomorrow night.
Ooh!
Yes, awesome. She's going big time.
Nice.
But I plan on calling in, too.
Has begun to get Monster to see that the IndyCar fans really are passionate about their sponsors, that love them or hate them, we really need Paul Tracy in the IndyCar series, if for no other reason than to give somebody people to root against, to bring some passion, some emotion into the series, to really fuel some fire and bring more eyes into the series, which Paul Tracy does, for better or worse. Mr. Kirkland takes exception to that view. No,
Paul, you're completely right with everything you just said, except for everything you just said.
Oh, come on.
Paul Tracy.
Apparently Cole doesn't feel that a past champion is worthy of a ride in the series. Cole, why is that?
The key word there was past. Paul, you're old. You have gray hair. You have wrinkles. You're old and you're fat. And you're Canadian. Even if you are talented, which I'm not saying you are, you're far from it, you would not get a ride. It's time to crop the new, young American talent. Get rid of the old. Paul, you don't deserve a ride in the IndyCar series, and I hope you don't get one because you are a menace and worthless to open-wheel racing and racing in general. Go home, hang up the helmet, let the young kid have a chance. Bye-bye, Canadians, because I just defended you all, but I don't care because I hate Paul Tracy.
Cole, would you welcome back Jill DeFerrin to the IndyCar series?
Yes, sir.
The same Jill DeFerrin that is a year older than Paul Tracy?
See, here's the thing. Jill is good. He has talent. Paul, not so much.
Oh, come on! No, I can't let you get away with that. Paul Tracy has won a ton of races, and for the very reasons that you're saying that you don't like him are some of the very reasons we need him in IndyCar, because that, what you're doing right now, is media attention, and that is activation beyond what any sponsor can give us.
So the Jill DeFerrin that has 12 wins combined between the IndyCar Series and CART at age 41, you would prefer to see the 40-year-old who has, hold on, let me check here, 31 victories between the two series. So you'd rather have the older guy with less wins than the younger guy who has more wins and probably bring more emotion, passion, fans to the series. Am I understanding you correct?
How many people has Gilles DeFerrin punched? How many front wings has Gilles DeFerrin torn off? How many flat tires has Gilles DeFerrin caused because he comes back from 100 feet in the braking zone, even though he doesn't have enough talent to do that? Gilles would be welcome. I'd have Gilles back any day. Paul, you are bad. You have no talent. Go back to Canada and get away. You don't deserve a ride.
You cannot say he does not have any talent because 30-some-odd wins don't come from an untalented driver.
He's had 30-something wins. He's had something wins from the time George Washington was president.
Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, come on, Cole.
You're speaking the exact same time frame as Gilles DeFerrin. You really are.
No,
it doesn't matter.
It's better than that because he was driving and winning against a better crop of drivers before Jill even got started. You look at his years at Penske from 92 to 95. If I recall, I think Jill came up with Jim Hall's team in 95. I'm a little sketchy, but I think it was 95 that he was a rookie.
I thought Paul it was Tracy, Walker.
I mean, you look at Paul Tracy in his years at Penske in 93, and let me pull up a couple stats here real quick. 92, he finished 12th. He was kind of in a sub role for taking over for Rick Mears that year. 93, this is the year you had Emerson Fittipaldi on top of his game. Al Jr. was up there. Michael Andretti was there. Emerson Fittipaldi, one of the greatest drivers ever to get into a cockpit, was driving that year. This is Paul Tracy's second full year. He has wins at Long Beach, at Cleveland, at Toronto, at Road America, and Laguna Seca.
How many DNFs did he have that year, Paul?
Well, I don't know. It's color-coded.
Exactly.
He finished third in the points in 93, third in the points in 94.
That would be hardly any DNFs because the points only went to 12th place. And if you're going to finish third in the points, then you hardly had any DNFs, if not even one.
Not only does he screw his own race, every driver in Champ Car was at one point hit by Paul Tracy because he's an idiot.
You know what? There's two styles of driving, and your man Gilles DeFerrin has a very casual, more calm style of driving, and Paul Tracy is definitely an aggressive kind of guy. I like both styles. I kind of prefer the aggressive driving. And you know what? If Monster Energy comes in and sponsors him so we get him back in IndyCar, they'll pay for those pieces and parts. As long as nobody's hurt, we're all good with it.
No, we're not.
No,
because you know what?
It keeps people employed.
No, it's bad. What if you're, for instance, I'm not or anything, a Sebastian Bourdais fan, Denver 2005. You're going for a championship. But no, the old Canadian has to prove himself, and once again, for the upteenth time, wrecks into you for no reason. He is
not... Are you mad at him for that specific reason? Is that the one reason that you're really mad at him for?
That's the one that infuriates me the most, because he nearly lost the championship because of that.
Okay. Yeah?
There's a difference between being aggressive and being an all-out menace. Dario Franchitti is a very aggressive driver. He's jerking all over the place. But he doesn't take people out every week.
What about Rafa Matos? Do you like Rafa Matos?
Yes, I do. I think he's a talented young man.
The same Rafa Matos that made a total bonehead move that took out Danica Patrick at St. Pete this year, that made a total bonehead move on Vitor on the outside going into Turn 1, crashed Vitor and took him out for the rest of the year. What's the difference?
How many years has he been driving?
You're upset about one particular race that Tracy was in.
No, that's just one example. That is one example I use. Get it right. Paul has not matured as a driver at all in his entire career. He's going down.
Oh, no.
He's a 12-year-old behind the wheel.
No, he has come enormously far from the 90s to now. Oh, no, 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 no. You think he's wrecked some things in these last couple years? He wrecked a lot in his earlier years. Now, to not have DNFs and to finish third in the points, that is tremendous. But pieces and parts, if we're going to put them in stockpiles from the 90s to this past decade, trust me, he's gotten much better. Much better.
You do not finish third in the early to mid-90s kart championship series without having some frickin' talent.
Yep.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
Paul Tracy has the talent.
Paul Tracy is a menace. He's old. He's overrated. And that seat could go to someone who deserves it a lot more, that's young and American and fast and can make something out of this.
Listen to the top 10 in the kart 1993 championship. Nigel Mansell, Emerson Fittipaldi, Paul Tracy, Bobby Rahal, Raul Bozell, Michael Andretti, Allinger Jr., Ari Leyendijk, Scott Goodyear, Robbie Gordon. That is serious, serious talent.
Well, except for Scott Goodyear, but...
Hey, Scott had some good runs. Scott had some damn good runs in that time period.
That championship was over before I was born, Paul. Give me a break.
And since you asked, Paul had...
Are you serious?
Paul had 7 DNFs that year.
7?
Whoa!
Is it one after 6? He sucks.
7 DNFs. When he finished 1st, 9th, 3rd, 1st, 1st, 7th, 1st, 3rd, 1st. He had one finish outside the top 3 when he finished a race.
Exactly. That is my point. You are a menace. You're not good.
Hold on. You can't say that that's your point because you just said Rafa Matos is young and you're giving him a mulligan for crashing into people. So we can give Paul Tracy a mulligan for 1993.
He didn't crash 7 times.
I didn't say he crashed 7 times. I said he didn't finish 7 times.
Okay, how many of those were mechanical, Paul?
I don't know. It doesn't say that.
Of course it doesn't. You're twisting the facts. I understand.
Oh!
Crash, do you see what we have to deal with here?
I know. But Cole, let me bring this up, because you keep saying that an open seat in the IndyCar series needs to go to a young American. But you just said you wouldn't mind seeing Gilles Deferrin back, and you want your guy Sebastian Bourdais back. That's a Frenchman and a Brazilian.
More than Paul Tracy, yes, I'd like to see them back. But why can't J.R. Hildebrand get a ride? Excuse me, he is young, he's fast, he's American, he's good, he can sell himself, he's a good guy, he can sell the series. But no, we're giving rides to old, washed-up Canadians.
No, it's not confirmed yet.
How many fans is J.R. Hildebrand going to bring to the series next year?
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Very good.
We're not developing for next year. We're developing for the next 15 years. We need to think long-term. Look how thinking short-term has got us in the last 2 years. It's time to start thinking about tomorrow, not just today.
But what if we get, let's get J.R. Hildebrand and Paul Tracy in on one team, and Paul Tracy will help groom J.R. Paul will be for the short term, J.R. will keep them for the long term. Boom, perfect deal.
That
Tracy
is how
can't
you
groom himself. We can argue about this crap. He's Paul Tracy.
I hope the monster executive come over and strangle you.
Well, apparently they're
not. Oh, is this where we had the big argument about a couple weeks ago on the podcast?
We argue about this and Danica every week, Paul, but we usually agree very fast on Danica.
Well, we had a big one a couple weeks ago that you... No, there was a couple weeks... Crash, I don't know if you heard the podcast from...
Oh, the Dario thing. Yes.
Cole actually tried to say that Dario was an undeserving champion that should not have won the championship because the final race came down to a fuel mileage race.
Oh, my goodness. That's about 30, maybe 40% of racing in general.
The entire championship should not come down to some guy with pins in his top pocket saying, we can make it. It's about driving a race car.
But you know what? Every single other race in the championship series put him in that position. It really didn't come down to just Homestead.
Exactly.
Yes, when you're looking at it, it appears that way. But no, had he finished one spot lower than he did in any other race of the season, he would not be champion. So every race counts.
Hey,
that's
Cole,
what I love about the IndyCar points system.
And Cole, who was it that you said was the deserving champion this year?
Briscoe was.
Wait, hold on. Is that the same Briscoe that had the points lead wrapped up and then drove into a wall at Japan?
Now, Paul, you have to do something for me to handicap this a bit. I want you to pull up that picture of Briscoe's fiance while you do this argument, please.
I can't. That picture kills me.
He drove his heart out in that last race, and he drove good all year. And they were thinking about firing him last year. He deserved it more than Dario, period. No argument.
No, I heard his job was always secure. I think the firing rumors were just rumors.
Cole, you make my head hurt.
Oh, it's mutual, Paul. It's mutual.
Oh. Hey, I know that, okay, we've thought about Tracy and now Briscoe and Frankie and Danica and all that, but who has the insight on this Ryan Hunter Ray thing? I'm so curious to hear what's going on. I know you said we don't need to talk about it, but I'm dying to know.
Cole, that's your story there, Chief.
I've heard rumors, there are nothing confirmed, that if USF1 is going to pick up an American talent, it will be Ryan Hunter Ray plus a foreigner that can bring money and experience. That is what I've heard from various people.
I don't like that at all. I don't like that because, well, there's your American thing right there that we need an IndyCar, apparently. But I also don't like it because if the rumors are true about Izod, which I think we're going to, hear confirmed in a week or so or less than, if that's true, they would lose their face guy. And I don't think that's smart of them. They just spent a year building up Ryan Hunter Ray as the face of Izod, especially the face of Izod for IndyCar, and now suddenly that's going to be gone?
I'm not saying I'm supporting it. I'm not saying I'm supporting it. I'm just saying that's what I've heard is going to happen. I don't like it either. I like Ryan.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, we love him.
But I'd like him even more in F1.
Really?
I think he'd be great with an experienced older veteran that has F1 experience, plus Ryan Hunter Ray, and then phase out whoever that experienced one is later for maybe a Jonathan Summerton.
But if you asked Ryan Hunter Ray, would he want to go? I mean, that's a question I really don't know the answer to. I know he likes IndyCar, but what about guys like Jonathan Summerton or Connor Daly or some of these guys that are being groomed sort of for that USF1 seat?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think at this point, Summerton and Alex Rossi and Connor Daly are the next American drivers that will be huge, but they're not ready for F1 at this point.
Even with a veteran as their teammate.
I just don't think as a driver, that's a big step up from where is... Was Rossi in Formula BMW this year?
Yeah, he was overseas. No, I thought he was overseas for a lot of the year.
Yeah, I think he was... You need to take a shorter step to get in at F1. You can't go from Formula BMW to F1. You need to go from GP2 or even from IndyCar. That's a big step, and I don't want to see it fail like it will if they go on a step that big. So maybe use Rossi as a test driver with Connor Daly, but Summerton and Ryan Hunter Ray are our only American hopes in the next 2 or 3 years.
Now, when you say you don't want to see anything fail, you could be referencing the Scott Speed deal, because he did do a large jump to get up to F1. It was all groomed by Red Bull, but I think he was just in one of the smaller Formula series and then jumped up to F1, and it was somewhat of a disappointment for everybody in America.
You need to ease these people in. F1, look what happened to Michael Andretti before him. They just threw him in.
True.
You can't throw him in the shark tank. Dip his toes in first. Let him ease into the world of it. Just let him test drive for a year. Jonathan Summerton is the one I want to see.
You want to see Jonathan? Okay. And I would love to see Jonathan, too. But with this Ryan Hunter Ray rumor, I don't think it would be an ease in for him, because stepping from IndyCar to Formula One, granted, it might seem like they're just a little bit away, it's a huge jump in reality.
It is a huge jump, but it's easier than going from BMW or, you know, all those other really low series. You need to come from British Formula 3 or GP2, a European top-level series, but until then, we don't have anyone in that series that's American for USF1, so I think the next logical choice is Jonathan Summerton and Ryan Hunter Ray.
Well, I'm going to start a campaign on Twitter. Save Ryan Hunter Ray in IndyCar.
I'll join.
I don't want him going. I don't want him leaving us. No, no, no.
I agree, but that's just what I've heard.
Too bad Marco doesn't want to go there.
Oh, dear God. Another Andretti failure in F1.
But he won't be running over anyone's toes on his scooter in the IndyCar series, then.
What toes did he run over?
Everyone's. He flies around there. We could always.
I gotta be honest with you guys. I have to say, I suck on a motor scooter, but if I ever mastered it, it would be kind of fun to just cruise around the pits and just kind of be like, yeah, I finally mastered the scooter. It's pretty cool. Seriously.
Now the big thing is now they got the Segways with training wheels going around there now.
Training wheels?
That's what we were calling them. We saw a couple of the little three-wheeled Segways that we were, Bree had one, actually. For Dreyer and Reinbold, she was tooling around on. We had a good laugh at her expense about the training wheels on her Segway.
You know what I'm thinking,
She's
Paul?
She's cool people, by the way. She's cool.
She's what?
She's cool people.
Absolutely.
She
has to be cool.
We need to get some personalized Planet IRL Segways with training wheels for next year. I can feel it. Cruise around the paddock. I know.
Not a bad idea at all.
You want one, Brad?
In this economy? I'd love one, but in this economy, can't afford one.
Nope. Either can we.
Get little dirt bikes.
They're expensive, aren't they?
No idea. I haven't looked into one.
Isn't this supposed to be a IndyCar podcast?
Well, not the Segway pocket. We just segued into Segways.
Oh, okay. We segued into Segway. Okay, thank you.
I think we've almost exhausted all of our topics here, and we're probably running long, and people have tuned us out already, so we should probably be wrapping up here. Real quick, wanted to mention...
Don't tune us out! Paul's naked!
What?
That's not going to get anyone to tune in.
Oh, you don't know that! New female fans!
Wait, we'll do a news flash. We'll do a news flash. People listen, because breaking news. Paul Tracy just ran over someone.
You know what?
That's a big surprise.
Cole, you're pretty close to getting disconnected. Crash and I are going to finish this on our own.
Hey, I have the recorder, buddy. You can't do anything to me.
Bring Paul back.
Yes.
Bring Paul back.
I can mute you, Crash. Stop it.
Mute me then, because I'm going to keep saying it. Bring Paul back. Bring Paul back.
Okay. Paul?
All right. The last thing we need to touch on, we'd be remiss if we at Planet IRL didn't help promote the cause. The Winter Indy tweet-up that is going around Twitter these days. Big help to hopefully get over the Homestead hangover. Being organized by a couple of our friends on Twitter, at The Race Girl and at HappyFish103. We're proud to be help out in that with any way we can. Right now it looks like they've got up to words of, I think, 62 or 63 people that said either yes or maybe. So we're hoping that we'll have a great turnout. Good times. I think it's the weekend of December
7th, I think.
I think it's the next weekend, like the 11th and 12th, 13th, somewhere in there. Looking at doing a tour of the Speedway at Indianapolis, a grounds tour there, which will be nice and cold. spend an afternoon at Fast Times Kart Track over up on the northeast side. Do some lunch at, I think, Cheesecake Factory to relive the Cheesecake debacle.
Yeah, I know. I want to hear that story someday, but I know the show's going on, so you got to tweet it to me or something.
Absolutely. We will send the Cheesecake. Actually, there's a link somewhere on my Twitter feed of the illustrated version of the Cheesecake debacle. I'll send that to you. So just good times, good friends. You know, and I was telling someone the other day, I got on Twitter, I don't even know when it was, back April, March, sometime in there. And I said, I'm going to get on Twitter only to keep up with the racing news. I followed a bunch of racing people. And the problem is all the damn people that I started following have now become my friends. So now I'm back to it's become a social thing again.
Well, hey, Paul, without Twitter, you wouldn't even be here. Look at that.
Exactly. So... you know, there's a lot of good people in the IndyCar Nation to be found on Twitter, and we certainly want to help promote this event in any way we can. So mark your calendars for that if you haven't.
I think most of the Planet IRL team will be there, too. I know you'll be there, and Jeremy, and Lisa, and Bash, and I'm trying to make it, trying to get there.
We're working on Matt to be there as well, so we may have the entire team may be there, and certainly, we'll put a link on our website to that invitation, and hopefully everyone can make it. We're trying to talk Crash into being there as well, so representing the Freak Nation.
That would be freaking awesome. If it is that weekend, I know that's the PRI show down in Orlando, but I don't have any confirmed plans for PRI yet, so I'm hoping that I can make it to you guys.
Very well, very well. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Special thanks to Crash Gladys from the Speed Freaks radio show. And for Cole Kirkland, this is Paul Dalby signing off. Thanks, and we'll join you soon.